Us?
It used to be, yeah, it's us now.
And that is all counties prosecute out in their county. I mean, it's to a lesser degree because that's just the populations are.
Sure. I've been in the training in the past.
And I know there may be some differences between the civil for a city and the civil for counties, but I think there's a whole lot that can be. I think it's something that we could look seriously combining and say this is the government civil conference. We hit a lot of issues that are valid for both the counties and for cities. And I know where it all came from. I've heard that history now. But I think we're at a point in time that UPC trains swap advocates. And I don't think we want to start going back to our roots, because I get there's a financial crunch, and I appreciate and support the way Bob's tried to figure out how to handle this and keep all his plates spinning. I guess in my mind, one of the important things that I want to see to continue is the civil conference. And if that means we adjust it so that it includes the cities and it still comes under UPC, that'd be my vote to do.
UMAA, rather than
or pull them in.
I'm naive enough. I didn't know there was a separate civil government conference for cities. And I'm thinking, I'm not sure. You know, when you start talking Grandma Brady Giglio planning and zoning, there's a lot that are just dead on the same for cities and counties.
You said it was about 2/3 similar?
No, this conference is about a third of the same as what they did in spring.
Okay.
Or that the UMA spring conference is. That's when they do theirs, is in May.
We don't have UPC's mission statement handy, do we? That we could just.
It's in the statute.
Okay. I'm just wondering if that might answer some of the questions. I haven't looked at it, so.
Well, how long, Bob?
Do you want me to read the statute?
Do you mind?
How long has it been since we've raised the registration fees?
2 years.
Only 2 years?
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you to read our mission statement?
Yeah. Well, it's just the statute. It's not the mission statement. Okay. There is created within the Office of the Attorney General, the Utah Prosecution Council. The council shall provide training and continuing legal education for state and local prosecutors, provide assistance to local prosecutors, and as funds are available and as are budgeted for this purpose, provide reimbursement for unneeded expenses related to prosecution for the violation of state laws. And then the rest talks about the members of the council, all of you. But that's basically the statutory mandate, those three things. Provide training, continuing legal education for state and local prosecutors, provide assistance to local prosecutors, and then the funds that Steve was talking about.
So that says prosecutors a lot, so I wonder if we can find a definition of that, and that might make me take back half the things I've said.
Well, I don't really have a dog in this fight, because I'm never involved in the civil conference, but I think the statute's pretty clear of what it's referring to. I mean, when it's talking about assisting with prosecution of criminal laws, the makeup of the board.
It doesn't say criminal laws. You didn't read criminal laws. You said
violations of state laws. That's right.
And this also goes back to the need to redo our statute, which we've been trying to do for several years. Because as Jan brought up, I recognize that by us training law enforcement, that kind of is expanding the envelope. I think the rationale has always been is that since law enforcement works so closely with prosecutors, it makes our job easier and better if we have trained law enforcement officers, and so that's why we have expanded that. And so I contemplated that when we finally get to a rewrite of our statute, that it broaden that, and maybe from this discussion, it instead of prosecutors, it encompasses.
I think in each of those, though, you're also inviting the local attorneys to come and participate in those issues as well. More of the people you get are law enforcement. I know in my county you had attorneys and law enforcement.
You're talking about the regional?
Yeah, your regional updates, things like that. I don't have a problem with that at all.
Right, because what we're finding is obviously in the smaller offices, not everybody can come to spring conference. And so those that couldn't come to spring conference, the attorneys, this was the way that they could at least get the legislative update. You know, we obviously don't do the case law update, but that was their way of getting the legislative update.
You know, back to the registration fees, you said it's only been 2 years, but I think that's when we up the defense attorneys coming, because I think it's been $75 since we met in Weber County.
Oh, okay. I was thinking that we upped it to 75 from 70 or 75. Maybe I'm remembering
wrong. No, I think we went straight from the 35 up to 75.
Okay.
Yeah. All the time.
No, it's been longer than that.
It's been.
We upped the
just your registration fee.
We have the defense attorneys, maybe just a couple years ago from that.
Yeah. But the $75 one
has been.
That was when we were up at
Weber State.
At Weber State. Yeah, that's when that changed. So that's been a while.
Just a note, I'm looking at the past thing. We talked about raising it last year because of the barn fees.
Oh, yeah, that was my mistake.
But haven't done it for several years. Also, if we charged till the conference for the value, the registration for what it was, it would be about $190 per person based on attendance over the last couple of years.
Those civil lawyers are always rich anyway.
Well, and that has also been one of the more expensive conferences because of the number of presenters that they pull in. You know, they do quite a bit of panel stuff, which, you know, really hits us on the travel and the overnight. And so, you know, maybe as we look at it, it's a time to revisit the registration fees. Maybe we give the civil planning folks a budget and say, you know, this is your budget. And then, in the meantime, we sit down with UMAA and say, you know, can we partner? But, you know, I have to echo again, you know, what Ryan said. I mean, I think it's closer to 85% of surcharges is from justice courts. And you know, when this issue first came up a decade or so ago, I was a little bit concerned because I said to Mark Nash, he said, you know, if you're going to start paying for the county civil folks, and you probably heard me say this before, then you know, the cities might want to jump in and say, me too. And I've never really approached UMAA about that, because really how they fund their conference is basically donation from some of their providers, some of the people that provide their periodicals, some of the law firms that handle their, you know, or outhouse counsel, for lack of a better term. I don't know if there is a better term than that, is there? Anyway. So, I don't know, just a thought.
Do you need action taken?
I think we need to start coming up with some direction that way.
Without action, will UPC will just continue to pay for the conference and plan it?
Yeah. I don't know if we want to draw the you know, I don't think that we, unless we want to, draw the bright line between prosecution and law enforcement and then prosecution and civil practice. If we draw those bright lines, I think that becomes problematic with, you know, relationships, particularly with law enforcement.
And if UPC doesn't do something, SWAP's going to do it for them.
Changing
the bylaws.
No, when actually changing the source of funding, because the DA's office has been funding at least two full-time positions as well as support staff.
I'm just saying, sitting by and doing nothing, somebody else, they're going to head in a direction that's...
Well, I wouldn't be careful about speaking on SWAP, because I don't even know.
I would say more likely the county attorney's offices coordinating
with the
city attorney.
I'm on the SWAP board also, so I'm not speaking for SWAP. I'm sitting here at UPC, so I'm speaking as a member of UPC. But it seems like, frankly, they are heading in that direction. That's been the strenuous argument, as represented by Sims' representative beside me, that they don't feel like they should be taking that on. So I'm just echoing what they've already said.
Well, clarification. Neither Paul nor Sim nor I have been strenuously arguing against funding the civil conference. You're not the individuals. But,
yeah, and I'm not
but
saying
SWAT
that.
Has voted against that.
Right.
It's just not coming from our office.
I guess I'm happy to make a motion that the Bob looks at maybe combining the two civil conferences. Let's see where that could go. I just hate to see UPC give up on the civil conference, because I think it's been a fantastic conference. You've done a great job with it for years, and I'd hate to see that go away.
I agree with Scott, and I think what would be helpful to the board is to have proposal, like what are the expenses? What are the expenses for the standalone versus, you know, combining with the multiple conferences that we're discussing, to see really what the expenditures are, and what is most cost effective, and then evaluating at the end of the day whether it's inconvenient or whether it's practical versus how much it's really costing. Because if you're expending a lot for, you know, the location, and we can put two together and reduce that cost, and everybody still gets the same training, although it may not be as ideal as in the past, at least it's happening. At least you'll have that training. So I don't know what money we're talking about.
And I don't want to leave the cities out. I didn't know until a few weeks ago that the cities just didn't come and had their own thing that they were paying for. And I think that ought to be part of this too.
I agree.
And I understand that we're strapped for money and it's going to have to take a different way to look at it. But I think that's the direction I'd like to see.
Creatively,
it go.
Right?
That's right.
I think outside the box.
You're sort of looking for your economy of scale here. What,
right.
What's going to be the best value for both
right.
groups? If we can put it together, I think that's a good idea.
I think we at least explore it. And anyway, I'd make that motion.
All right. You want to state that again for us after all the discussion?
Sure, I'll do that.
I'm a wee bit lost. Nothing new, though.
I move that we asked Bob to look at combining the two civil conferences, see how we could otherwise fund that, but that we still try to keep that as a UPC training for the civil conferences for cities and counties.
So he's going to need your help, probably.
Motion on the floor?
Is
there a second?
I would say the irony of that, though, I think maybe you could speak to it better than me. I don't think the city attorneys are unhappy with their conference. I don't think they're looking to switch how they do it. They're probably looking to invite the county attorneys. They're not looking to replace.
If that's what they want to do, that's fine too, though. I mean, if that achieves our economy of scale we're looking at, I think right now what we're talking about here is approaching them and see, if we all get together, what can we do to make this work?
Cost analysis.
I mean,
that's right.
No offense, I just heard you say, hey, we're paying for our own, and that's not right. And I'm saying, okay, come into the fold. Let's see if we can do it. I'm not doing it because I don't want you to have your own conference.
Sure.
I'm doing it because I'm thinking, I agree with you that this ought to be part of what we try to use the surcharge for.
Yeah. You still have a motion without a second.
Second.
We got a second. Now's the time for discussion.
Oh, I see.
That's all right.
Well, discussion, I think, is there needs to be a cost analysis. Mm-hmm. I think all the options are on the table in order to meet everybody's concerns and desire, and let's see what it looks like at the end of the day. And then I think we can be informed, at least, on who we ask money of or whether or not we conduct those trainings, those conferences.
So are part of the things that you want him to look at is it time to increase our registration fees?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, that's on the table.
I think all of it. Yeah. If current registration fees, increased registration fees, and frankly, what it would look like to break even on three separate conferences or combined conferences or.
And also evaluating the training for law enforcement.
Yeah. Right? And the training for law enforcement, which one's that?
Well, we do the regional training, is primarily the one that we do.
Yeah, and I mean, that comes out of your training and it comes out of our training, but yeah, might as well.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor to have Bob look at.
Comes out of your budget.
Combining.
Yeah, we didn't get any reimbursement on the regional.
We didn't ask for any.
The one that I went to.
Yeah,
well, it was two in one day.
We got that buck and a quarter for you.
Yeah, we're going to set that in January.
Yeah, you're going to set that in January.
And so we have a motion that we have Bob look at the feasibility of combining the two civil conferences, the city UMAA and then the government civil conference, evaluate the costs of providing that training and our relationship with law enforcement, civil, and then whether it's time to revisit the registration fees.
Okay.
All right, is there a... All right.
Can I just ask one other question? There's UMAA.
Uh-huh.
Is there a county equivalent to that?
Utah County District Attorneys Association.
Okay. And they don't do anything with training or anything? Okay.
No, not at this
right.
point.
Okay.
Well, one thing on the regional updates, for Duchesne County, we had 33 people participate
mm-hmm.
in the regional training.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that my sheriff and my officer will probably be looking at visit 4 hours of training for each of those officers. mean, you're looking at it, just between us and them, that's $600 that would that could go towards those expenses if we need to cover expenses. Obviously, some of the smaller jurisdictions that are farther out that may not cover things, but you know, it's just something that I don't think anybody would flinch at.
All right, so really the motion on the floor with the second is for Bob just to basically do some exploratory surgery, as it were.
Right. Sure.
Okay. All right.
Go fix it.
Go fix it and report your success next time. All right, any further discussion on that?
I would just say Maryland does such an amazing job. It terrifies me to think that the conference may go away or may be in other hands. So it's part of my argument.
Well, let's go ahead and take care of this motion, then we'll go from there. All in favor of Mr. Sweat's motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. All right. I mean, just one other thing. This came up, I think, with OMPA, is because our places where we like to go for conferences are getting so much more expensive, and they won't acknowledge the state rate. We're starting to move our conferences beyond the high seasons, so that are more affordable. And so from an administrative standpoint, that jams a lot of conferences at a close proximity and puts a lot of burden on UPC. So that's something else we need to be aware of. Or we just start having everything at the UPC offices, right? I'll be there. Yeah.
And Bob's office.
You may never see Tori again.
Do the hallway.
We can do it in the hallway.
Well, or like what CCJJ did is they had to do the individual offices and
just wipe out the whole.
Yeah.
Okay. Offered that new training room.
Yeah. Once our building's finished, which right now we're looking at March.
Right.
We'll have training space.
Well, then that raises an issue. Just since we've raised that, is I'm all in favor of using SIMS training facilities, but somebody, and I won't say who, has just come to me and said that please be careful that UPC doesn't become Salt Lake, you know, Salt Lake UPC, that we don't let SIM take over UPC's mission. I mean, I'm all for Salt Lake County supplementing our training. I think it's great what they're doing, but that was just one person's concern.
SIM, but he doesn't want it.
No, we already prosecute half of the criminal offenses that happen in this state.
Yeah.
So we're happy to just train our own people.
Yeah. So that's why you
don't want that.
Somebody just, like I said, that was a concern that one of our constituents, if you will, one of our clients, they just don't want to see it become the Salt Lake County training program. Make sure they keep it. I envision us using your training facility.
Yeah.
So,
I'm sure that's the last anti-Salt Lake County comment we'll make.
So,
maybe in the 9 o'clock hour.
Yeah. we've got to go. I should have been keeping track of the time. Can we jump to the SADVRP? We have to make a decision and then address the other issues as time permits.
Okay, let's do it.
So I sent you all an email. And again, if I didn't explain it correctly, because everything that I would have put in my director's summary and director's minutes will go be posted on our webpage, I was hesitant to put a lot of details in here. That's why I sent the separate email. Did you get that?
I did not. So
I meant to send that to you. So I apologize. So we had a committee. My thanks to Marilyn was on the hiring committee. Haley, Greg. Major Brian Redd from DPS and Donna Kelly, and then myself. And so we interviewed six candidates, and the overwhelming unanimous choice at the end was Peter Levitt. Many of you know Peter, formerly from the DA's office. He quit earlier this year, had some family issues that he needed to take care of. He will be presenting during the SCOTUS update here at Fall Conference. He helped John Nielsen do the case law update at Spring Conference. But he was the overwhelming candidate. I extolled some of his virtues in the email that I sent out and some of the other
committee
members.
Actually, you don't need to sell Peter Levitt to me.
Yeah. the big issue is the salary is... And I realize that it's a sensitive subject with the AG's office.
I'll speak to that if you,
please.
Rather than speaking for me.
Yeah.
I would just say that, you know, I certainly understand salary issues and getting the best people. And I tie this even back to the budget that we're discussing, which is UPC is under the AG's office. The AG office has salary scale. It is low. It is terrible. I think all your offices pay better than the Attorney General's office does. With that said, not speaking to Peter or speaking anything but generally, you know, I think the UPC employees should be bound to the Attorney General's pay scale. There's, you know, we're talking about $15,000, $20,000 for a conference when salaries, if we were to pay the AG's commensurate salary scale, I mean, we wouldn't be having this conversation. With that said, you know, speaking specifically to Peter, Peter's fantastic, whatever the board decides. I only just wanted to say that, you know, put that on the table that the AG's office has a salary scale. The request will be that we veer from that and go above it. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I fully endorse Peter, and I'll support whatever the board does.
Thank you, Greg. So when Peter, so here, what was in the email, and I'll give you a copy of this. Let me just refer to this, and
that's
I'll give
fine.
It to you.
That's
well, is if he, according to, with 10 years of experiences, which is what Peter has, he would start at $36.66 per year, which is $76,253 per year. At the AG's office when he left the DA's office.
Told you.
It's not quite
told you.
What the DA is scaling.
No, when he left the DA's office, he was making $42.51 an hour, which was $88,421.34 a year. He's requested to make at least that much. The DA's office, they do a 2% bump in pay at 6 years, 8 years, and then a 5% increase at 15 years. With the AG's office, he would be eligible to become a Category 5 attorney at 12 years and 2 years, but that's not a guarantee. And because UPC, you know, we pay our employees through our own funds, we don't actually wouldn't be eligible to fill a level 5 slot. It would be similar to what Don is. We can pay them the equivalent of a grade 5 attorney. We just wouldn't be sitting in a grade 5 position, if that makes sense. So what I'm proposing, or at least what I've put in my email, is that that we could pay Peter. Well, let me back up. Since I sent this out, someone suggested that we pay Peter what he was making when he came from the AG's office. Or from the DA's office, and if he meets our statutory deadline of having all law enforcement trained by July 1st, 2018, in the sexual or trauma of sexual assault, that we could look at then bumping his pay up. In my email, I suggested that we pay him a dollar more than he was making, which would be $43.51 an hour, taking him to $90,500.80 a year. That would be an incentive to keep him at UPC. Granted, if he went back to the DA's office, which my guess is he would probably be able to be rehired or be able to go to some other DA's office, prosecuting office, and make more than what we would currently be paying him. That's why I'm suggesting the increase is that if we pay him a little bit more than what he would go back to, we could keep him for longer.
Do you have a place for the job? Do you have a pay list at all?
No, what I said is that we base it off the year's experience, bar admission date, which is what the AG's office would be. And then I also said that because the council pays a salary, that there would be some ability to negotiate that. But I didn't give any specific numbers.
Okay, because some people may have looked at the job position, called Greg and said, what's your skill say? Theoretically, said, what's your skill say? And said, I'm not going to put in for it because I wouldn't make quite enough. And so now we're going outside of that.
Well, no,
the proposal is we would go outside of.
Well, no, that's why I said it was based on number of years service as well as the council mm-hmm. has final approval. So I tried to make it.
Well, and then Bob shared with me that every one of the final candidates, it would have been a cut in pay for everybody.
Yeah, everyone that applied.
Yeah.
Some Peter. The least amount would be, for example, Marlies Jones from Steve's office, who was a strong contender. I would have taken the least amount of a pay cut, but it would have been a pay cut, whereas Clark Harms from the Board of Pardons, who also applied, excellent candidate, would have taken a huge pay cut just because he's making quite a bit with the Board of Pardons. So yes, every candidate would have been required to take a pay cut. So if we're, and I appreciate Greg's position, because I appreciate the fact that, that because UPC pays its own employees, or at least its attorneys, a little bit more than the strict AG pay scale, that that has created some disharmony within the office. But if we're going to strictly pay according to the AG's pay scale, we're going to get somebody that is not qualified for this position.
Well, I'd be careful.
Well,
I just want to stick up, because we have a lot of qualified individuals who come to the Attorney General's office for that salary. So to say that you won't,
I misspoke.
The Attorney General's office is a bunch of slugs.
No, I misspoke.
No,
what I mean is it
we
would
just
be.
Have a lot of self-deprecating attorneys.
Yeah, I mean, we're down on our luck. We're pretty good. We're our last straw. I mean, we limp in, but benefits are great.
No, thank you. I apologize. I said that wrong. We wouldn't have qualified attorneys for this position. Is what we really need is somebody who has experience prosecuting sexual assault cases with some domestic violence cases. And so
that's a tough job to be able to. You think your sex assault prosecutors are some of the best ones in the state, and if you have to be better than them so that you can teach the already good prosecutors how to do a good job, that's a tough assignment.
Tell me how much Donna's salary was above the.
Well, when the legislature, CJJ came to me and asked me to propose figures for this, it was before Donna told me that she was leaving. So I based it on a level 5, grade 5 attorney with her years, 30-some-odd years of experience, which the salary was $162,800, I think is what the salary.
Including benefits.
Including benefits, yes. And then the additional $20,000 or so funding that we got was to cover the cost of this person going to conferences, paying for their phone, their computer, things like that. So it was intended to pay everything for that person.
The salary is not still dependent upon the grant?
No. This is dedicated funds. We still are getting about $30,000 in grant funds, which I will want this person to look at to see how we can best use that. Donna has long wanted to do a week-long DV 101 boot camp course similar to what we do for BASIC. And so I can see the funds from the grant as well as some of the training funds that are, or the funds that are left over and the difference in the salary that we'd be paying that could be used to do that, plus some other training.
But I bring that up to say that this isn't something new, because Donna was also above the
AG's pay scale. Right. Tyson, myself, and Donna were all paid above the AG's pay scale.
All right, comments from the board? Council, I should say.
Donna was on the grant, and we were worried that we wouldn't.
She had been, but he went and got us.
You got some more funding from the legislature.
Right, actually, this is dedicated funding. We know, the legislature can change its mind, but for now, this position is not reliant upon grant funding.
So the reasons for paying him more than what the AG's office would normally pay are to our retention, and what else?
Years of experience.
Well, but the years of experience, the AG's office pay scale already takes care of that, theoretically,
right.
If you're working for the AG's office.
Right.
I'm not saying
it's not
the reality. They should all be paid more, I'm sure.
In the job posting, it did not say you would be paid commensurate with the AG's pay scale.
No, it did not.
So the AG's pay scale, as impressive as it is,
yes,
may not be.
Well, and they're not
controlled.
They're not FTEs like some of your people are, but
right.
You are within the Attorney General's office. My only argument is that we're housed together, our offices are shared. There is an existing pay scale. We're talking about budget, and I think it's only fair to say when we're talking about budget, this is a budgetary concern, whether it be the Attorney General's office or otherwise. I mean, It's a fair conversation.
I've got another question related to the AG's.
Well, let
office.
Me answer this. And also, to go along with what Greg is saying, is we're not merit employees. So if this dedicated funding were to go away, this person would be out of a job. They wouldn't be absorbed into the AG's office.
Okay, well, that should be taken into consideration. I mean, that's why city attorneys are paid as much as they are, theoretically.
This applicant doesn't have a job right
time,
now,
right?
So it's a little different if you say, I work for the DA's office and I make this amount of money and I'd like to stay commensurate with that. He's
sure.
saying, I had family problems and quit my job, I'm unemployed, but I want what I used to make when I was back there. I don't follow that one myself. I'm
one vote.
But he's, so his, he's losing the job security of a merit status.
Right.
If the AG's office gets approved for, say, a